Think of what the apostles might have been feeling throughout this entire scene of the gospel. So here they are pouring their lives out. The gospel says so many people were coming to them in such great numbers that they didn't even have time to eat. So person after person, giving and giving and giving. And our Lord comes up and he says, come away by yourselves to a deserted place to rest a while. How relieved they must have been. I mean, think of taking that first step onto the boat. Oh my gosh, the burden off their shoulders. They could just relax in the boat. They go across and what do they find? A crowd of people waiting for them so that they can give themselves anew. What did they feel in that moment? Weariness, exhaustion, frustration, anger, resentment, perhaps repulsion at the crowd of people waiting. Gosh, can't you just give us a break for a minute? And what does our Lord feel? Pity. So much so that he sees them as sheep without a shepherd, and he begins to teach them anew. St. Francis de Sales says that one of the traits that is most essential for growth in the spiritual life is what he calls holy indifference. He says there is an indifference which we can call sacred. Now, it's essential that we get this clear because indifference, as it's generally understood, as we commonly know indifference to be, is about the worst thing that we can experience in the spiritual life. Right? If growth in holiness is growth in charity, then indifference, to feel nothing, is almost the exact contrary to love. So what is this indifference that St. Francis de Sales calls sacred? He says it is to leave our hearts free from all the wants and the desires that they might cling to. So that whatever our Lord sends our way, we are ready to welcome it. As Mother Teresa would say, so that whatever God takes, we are willing to give. And whatever he gives, we can take with a smile. You know, think of the apostles coming to the shore and seeing this crowd of people, and even though they long for just a little bit of repose, they have not clung to that desire. And so their hearts are free to say, okay, Lord, even though I'd like a little break for a while, if this is your will, I'm ready to embrace it. And I will embrace it with love. St. Ignatius of Loyola perhaps summed up this indifference best. He says, humanity, all of us, we're created to praise, reverence, and serve our Lord. And that if that is the goal for which we are made, everything else that God has created is to assist us in fulfilling that goal. And so we should use created things as they are helpful to us. And we should stay away from them insofar as they keep us from fulfilling that goal. This is what he says. To do this, we need to make ourselves indifferent to all created things. Thus, as far as we are concerned, we should not want health more than illness. You know, if a person, all they're trying to do, I just want to stay healthy, you know, I want to avoid the flu, I'm going to stay inside, I'm going to take all my vitamins, and then the cold comes anyway. Right? If we have clung to that desire to be healthy, we're not going to be too happy about that. And then we can't serve our Lord with hearts that are free. We should not want wealth more than poverty. We should not seek fame more than disgrace, a long life more than a short one, and so on. But we should desire and choose only that which helps us toward the end for which we were made. We celebrate Our Lady, we honor Our Lady in a particular way on Saturday. there was no soul more indifferent than that of our Blessed Mother Mary. When the Archangel Gabriel came to her and announces that God desires her to bear a son. Now you might think, okay, she was a young woman about to be married. That would have been the joy of her life. She had made a promise to our Lord to be exclusively His, that she would never have relations with a man. But even more so, Our Lady knew that the son that the Archangel Gabriel was announcing was not to be an earthly king who would reign on the throne of David, his father, forever, but a heavenly king. And that son was not made for glory in this world, but in the next. And in order to attain that glory, he would have to suffer greatly. And that meant that she, as his mother, would share in all those sufferings. She knew that the words of the angel meant the cross for her. And with great joy, she says, as her entire life changes in a moment, "Be it done unto me according to your word." May we seek to do the same.